It's another week of Unprofessional, and I'm your host, Jamie Newberry. And right here with me is your other host, David Wiskus. Can I call you
Hello.
Dave?
David?
Never did that before. Thought I'd do it, just to throw it in there.
You kind of threw me off. Although I will say, I just today, finally, at long last, got my Cards Against Humanity card that has my name on it. And they also call me David Wiskus.
See? That's how it works. So I'll call you Dave from now on, but I had to try it.
It's my new conference badge.
That's very cool. Well, we have a guest with us today, Dave.
What?
Would you like to introduce the guest today?
Would I like to?
I would like you to.
Okay. Our guest today is Jennifer Tress.
Hello.
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 And that very specifically, that is Jennifer, not Jen.
Well, you know, you can call me either. It's just not Jenny, actually. But if, I usually, my like, you know, if you were looking for me, I usually go by Jennifer Tress online. That's my online personality.
Yeah, this is only a point of confusion because there's certain emails had Jen and some had Jennifer, and I think the PR person said Jen, and then your Skype name says Jen, and I'm just confused.
It's very confusing. Jennifers have a lot of different variations of their names. I personally hate Jenny, but you will meet another Jennifer that loves Jenny and hates Jen. It's a weird thing with us Jennies.
I have to tell you, my sister is a Kimberly, and she's okay with Kimberly, and she's okay with Kim, but hates to be called Kimmy.
Yeah,
Say Kimmy?
Oh, boy, she gets it. I've heard it. It even makes my skin crawl. I'm like, no, she's not a Kimmy. She's just not. And some Kims prefer Kimmy. There are those.
There are. I feel like unless you knew me before I was 8 years old, like only then can you call me Jenny. You're like grandfathered in at that point.
Exactly.
But anybody else? No.
My mom will sometimes call me David and then catch herself.
Yeah.
That's about as far as it goes. And most Dave/Davids will go by Dave or David pretty specifically.
Yeah.
I feel not that so I am crossover. A Dave. I'm not really a David. I don't think that I'm that guy.
I'm married to a Dave.
so it's Dave. Yeah, that's true. I called you David just to see what would happen. It didn't even feel right coming out.
The one that'll throw me is Davey.
And
this happens. Yeah, this happens extremely rarely. And I've always thought that maybe I should be a Davey. Like, nobody's doing that. I could own that. I'd have the market cornered on that name.
You and Davy Crockett.
Exactly.
Who's dead, and Davy Jones also dead.
Right. That's so you've true. Got, I would you be, have really.
I'd be the only one. But then I was dating a girl, and she called me Davy, and it was just,
weird.
It was over at that point.
Yeah. That's what,
that
you know,
was enough.
I don't think I could take you as, like, seriously if you were Davy. I'd want to call you little Davy Wiskus.
Yeah, I don't feel good about that.
No.
I thought maybe it could be my thing, but then I heard somebody say it unsolicited, and I just felt like I was 3 years old.
Yeah, that's exactly. Any E in the end, like that E syllable at the end
it's
of a name,
true.
It's going to be like you're a child.
It's
you're
true.
A child or you're a pedophile.
And then there's my name.
Which is, God, that was quite enough. Jamie.
No, it's cool.
Awkward.
It's cool. I'm not a pedophile. I'll just disclaim that.
Glad we got that cleared up. I am okay with the E sound at the end of a woman's name. That doesn't bother me because it feels like a feminine syllable to have at the end of a name.
Yeah.
On my name, it just made me feel like I was five, and there's nothing sexy about a five-year-old dude.
No.
Well, you know, I do think it's some of those names that have the alternate, like Jennifer, Jenny, Jen, Kimberly, Kimmy, Kim. It's like those names they have, Robert, Bob. What's the one that has
Bobby?
It's Richard. Yeah.
Richard and Dick.
And Dick.
Ricky.
What is that? Yeah.
Which is my
Rich.
Middle name?
Oh, you could be Dave.
I could be Dick.
Dave.
Davy Ricky.
Davy Ricky.
Davy Ricky.
That's the best. Davy Ricky. That's awesome.
That's, yeah. If you have an OKCupid profile, that should be your new name on it.
This does not need to be
best.
A thing.
You know, before we continue further, we should actually let Jennifer introduce herself and tell our audience who she is, what she's about, real quick here.
Sure.
Explain yourself.
I'm a fun lady. I am a writer, speaker. I'm based in the Washington, D.C. area, and I wrote a book that was released last year called You're Not Pretty Enough, which is a collection of short stories a la David Sedaris, Mindy Kaling, you know, that sort of genre. Nice. But it's the title chapter, which refers to something that my ex-husband used to say to me as the reason he was having an affair. That's interesting data to get, which is why he's also my ex-husband.
Yeah.
Became sort of a viral thing and started a self-esteem movement. So I found that because I used that URL as my personal website, that people were coming out, and it was just catchy. It was like, oh, that's sort of catchy, and people sort of knew me for that story. I found that people were finding me because they were Googling, will I ever be pretty enough? Am I pretty enough for anybody to love me? And it was really, really sad, but I thought I had an opportunity to turn that around for people, and so I made my site a resource for those people who are Googling out there, and since that happened, and the book being a companion piece to it, it sort of went crazy with the press last August. So you may have seen me on Good Morning America or the Washington Post or Jezebel or somewhere.
What a huge responsibility.
It kind of is. But
all those people's self-esteem.
Yeah, it is. That's great. I could talk about it, but I'm not supposed to talk about my job, right?
Let me just ask you this. Do you on your bad days, do you ever feel the urge to just change the site to have the text written across the top? Fuck it, you actually are ugly. I hate all of you.
No. Uh-huh. But I did participate in that Twitter, thing that happened around Valentine's Day, rejected candy hearts, So it was like, hell yes, you look fat in that, nice. Things that go towards that you're not pretty enough feeling.
Very nice.
I would be tempted. I don't think I'd do it, but I'd be tempted.
Right.
I'd have my days where I'm like, I hate all you people.
Yeah, I don't. I don't have those days.
That's good.
Well, luckily, you're just a better human being than I am.
I clearly.
I'm okay with that.
Dave accepts this. This fate in life.
Oh, Davey.
Davey Ricky.
That really doesn't need to be a thing.
No, it's okay.
I'm just going to bleep those out.
Yeah. Because
right,
you'll hear
so they don't even.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, my goodness. So what else? We were talking about spaghetti claps earlier.
I think there's a lot of context that goes into explaining that for the audience.
That's very true.
I'll do what I can. So before the show, we always I get shit for this from certain guests who
about
have
the clap?
All these. Yeah. But from our more tech savvy guests who are like, oh, you don't have a fancy setup that does the thing automatically. No, we very simply to sync everything up. It's 1, 2, 3, and then we all clap. We do this every show. And longtime listeners may recall that at some point, the last episode of the show ever, the last thing anybody will hear is a compilation of all those claps. So it'll be all of our guests applauding.
That's like the clap heard round the world. It's amazing. It's a service.
Well, there's the title for the last episode right there.
Yeah,
the clap heard round the... Okay, so...
Round the world.
I had just come from the gym and I have spaghetti arms, as Jamie described it. The clap that I gave was not... There's just no good way to say it. The clap that I had, my clap, the clapping that I...
the sound, a weak clap.
The sound that I made with my hands when they hit each other was kind of a...
Spaghetti, noodly. One spaghetti noodle clapping against the other. It was weak.
you throw the pasta against the wall to see if it sticks, it was kind of that sort of sound.
That was it.
So anyway.
So that was...
That's very exciting.
That was the spaghetti clapping that Jamie was referring to. So glad I told that story now.
It was a good story.
It's a winner.
Feeling good about that?
Yeah.
I'm going to write a book called You're Not Funny Enough.
That's my next book.
Damn it.
Too late.
Can I write the foreword? Something.
Sure.
You're not clapping strongly enough.
I'm in a dangerous, but this is the first time this has ever happened because Jen/Jennifer, you might not be aware of this, but Jamie is new to the show. She is replacing a former co-host who was a dude. So this is, now I'm in this position, but this is the first time ever on this show where I've been the only guy.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, first time. That is true, huh? Ever on the show. And the show's much older. How old is the show now?
A year and a half.
So, yeah.
Something like
that. Nice. Yeah, I just started here in January doing this with Dave.
Gotcha. Now the odds are ever in our favor, Jamie.
Yes, they are.
I have no idea what to talk to two women about.
Well, let me throw something out there.
Sweet, sweet, go.
You know, everybody talks with the You're Not Pretty Enough thing. Everybody's sort of focused on that story. And to me, the most interesting part about that story was that the other woman and I met up together and wound up liking each other and then confronted him together in a sort of surprise coup. But people really hung on to the You're Not Pretty Enough story. I need to put out there in the universe that my personal quest with this book is to actually re-meet Jon Bon Jovi, who I had a huge ass crush on when I was a kid, at like to where the point where when I was in high school I stopped dating because I was saving myself for him.
Oh my goodness.
And you'll notice my last name.
Me too.
Really? My God, amazing.
Oh, childhood crushes is such a great topic too.
Yeah.
I mean, just it is. Like,
yeah.
All right, so Jon Bon Jovi.
Yeah, so I actually,
when it began,
I was like 15.
15. Did you have any crushes earlier than that?
Yes, Prince. When I was a child. Prince. Oh, okay. Isn't that weird? I mean, he's sexy, but like he's a tiny androgynous sex bot. You know, yep. That's a weird thing for me to have a crush on.
His attitude is sexy, but to see Prince as a sex object.
I know. Yeah, he so was. That's like who I first learned to diddle myself against. Like, really, was Prince. Nice. Seriously, against my pillow. I was like, let's just have this be a stand-in for Prince.
This is Prince.
He's like a toddler.
He's a little guy. But I'm not a heightist, so
he is hot for the toddler set, yes.
He's pretty hot for a toddler.
Yeah, I mean, really. God, sexy toddlers.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I had this really deep crush on him, and there was this radio station that weirdly out of Cleveland, Ohio, which is where I'm from, but I was from a town like an hour away from there that was really small. Like I graduated with 75 people.
Oh,
so I didn't, you know, I had this crush.
I did 38 my graduating class.
God.
38.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway,
keep going.
Yeah. Well, so this big radio station out of Cleveland, like the most popular one, had started broadcasting out of my small hometown. So me with no connections whatsoever, I was like, oh, this, I'm going to make this happen. Because I don't know if you guys have had a crush on celebrity, but when I did, I had it so deeply that I just felt, I just need to get in front of him or within proximity to him, and then he'll feel the same way completely. He just has to meet me.
It's meant to be.
Yeah, exactly. I just have to make that happen. So when that radio station started broadcasting, I was like, okay, here's my chance. Went up, met, you know, and I'm a shapely gal. Like I had boobs at 12, like big boobs. So I sort of looked older always, you know, even when I was 12, I probably looked 16. So when I was 16, I looked like 20. And so when I went up to meet the DJ on hand who, you know, I was like, I'm going to make you get me closer to Jon Bon Jovi. You know, he was like, of course, I'll totally help you.
I'll help you. Yeah,
absolutely.
As the DJs can.
Right. And so he did. He wound up taking me to the concert and we went backstage. Whoa. And I met him. And, you know, while I was 16. And I think you could probably tell I'm not really a shy girl.
Was Jon Bon Jovi the ex-husband you speak of?
Oh, God, I wish. I would never have written that book. I just would have been it's fine. I'm not pretty enough. That's fine. Whatever you need to tell
you're
me.
You're right.
That would
it's
have been
okay.
So awesome, though.
No, I was completely mute when I met him. And I had, like, practiced for 8 weeks, like, what I was going to say. I talked in the mirror every day, every night, like, aww, you know. And when I met him, I said nothing.
It's so hard now, when you meet people that, yeah, that make you nervous in that way. It's very hard.
I've never
hard.
Been that way, ever. Before or since, it was just that moment. So now I'm sort of on a quest to re-meet him.
That's great.
So you want a second chance at this?
I want a second chance at this a little bit, yeah.
I don't know if we can do anything to help you, but
we'll try. Well, I just think I'm trying to put this out in the universe more and more.
That's when it happens, though. You got to put it
exactly.
out there.
Exactly.
Maybe
doesn't
he's a
happen if you don't.
He might be.
Maybe he's a huge fan of the show.
He might be. And spaghetti claps.
that would be so great.
Who is your celebrity crush, Jamie?
My celebrity crush, I'm trying to think of through different eras of my life. Like my first like rock and roll crush was Stephen Piercy, the lead singer of Rat.
Oh yeah. My God.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
The lead singer of Rat. That was my first crush that I could remember. And then I also loved Vince Neil from Motley Crue.
Well, see, that I can kind of get. But yeah. Rat?
No, Rat, though, I loved, I still Rat love was, his voice. But yeah.
We unite on the hair bands.
Yeah, I do. You know, those are.
Yeah.
I loved Billy Idol when I was in fourth grade. Oh my God, Billy Idol. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know. I can kind of go through these things. Johnny Depp, you know, that.
Oh, yeah. And Rob Lowe. That was a big one.
Oh, yeah.
Rob Lowe.
I never had the Rob Lowe crush.
I kind of do now.
Yeah.
I know.
He's great now, right? He was great then, though, too. He's just,
I don't know. I don't think he was all that great before, but I just went through. I did a whole binge watch of Parks and Recreation.
I love that show.
He's great on that show.
You must literally.
It's so hard for me now not to emphasize the T in literally.
Me too.
It's great.
Same.
I love it. He's so good in that role. Who's your first crush, Dave?
My first crush? I have no idea.
Yeah, well, so we could go back even further. And I actually married Winnie the Pooh when I was little, when I was
really?
Young.
Aww.
I did. Yep.
What? I mean, you've mentioned your ex-husband before, but I didn't realize.
Yeah, not that one. I had an ex-husband. Well, I never divorced Winnie the Pooh. Shh, don't tell.
I was going to say the kids definitely take after you.
Yeah.
Who's your crush, like celebrity crush now?
That's a good question.
That is a good question.
It sort of changes all the time. God, I don't have anybody like right primary at the moment.
That's what I feel like. I kind of kind of over it a little bit.
Gun to my head, it's hard to like pick a female celebrity that is sort of like that, I don't know, model of what I would want or that I could project those things onto in that way.
What is your like ideal woman? What are her qualities?
Okay, it totally depends on the woman.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, and that's kind of what I'm saying. Sometimes I'll watch something and I'll see somebody in it and it just clicks for me. And there's people that I'll watch anything, like Elizabeth Banks. I will watch anything she's in.
Yeah.
Ever. She's amazing.
She is amazing. I just rewatched her in 40-Year-Old Virgin and I just love her in
and
that
she's,
role.
She's barely in it, but yeah, she steals it.
Steals it.
Yeah, she's great in everything. Alison Brie from Community and Mad Men. I'll watch anything she's in. I listen to her read a phone book.
Love her.
That's awesome. I'm Googling all these people because I have no idea who these people are. Is that terrible?
Also, Paul Rudd.
God. I mean, everybody loves Paul Rudd. Even my lesbian sister has a crush on Paul Rudd.
Rudd.
I mean,
is
everybody.
Hilarious. Did you guys see that thing where it was like a cute, I don't know, somebody put together every appearance of Paul Rudd on the Conan show? And it's on YouTube. If you can Google Paul Rudd on Conan, and there's somebody edited together every appearance. He shows this clip from the movie Mac and Me every time Conan goes to, you know, here's his new movie, and he's done a ton of them, right? But it's this clip from the movie Mac and Me, which was a hilariously not awesome movie, but it kind of awesome in its not awesomeness. Anyway, look it up. Like, Google this YouTube video because it's hilarious. And it made me love Paul Rudd 1,000 times more than I already did.
I don't get how anybody could not love Paul Rudd.
Yeah, it's impossible.
And if you feel like you don't love Paul Rudd, watch this video. And if you don't, then it's you.
And even after that, if you still don't love Paul Rudd, maybe maybe seek help because you might just be a sociopath.
It's true.
Yeah, I think so. That's a good barometer. Like, or I would like to almost do like a poll. Is there anybody out there who doesn't love Paul Rudd? What we come up with.
If that guy ran for president.
Yeah, he would win.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be an election year. He could run right now.
Can you imagine him and Oprah? It would be like just a hands down landslide.
I think it'd be great. We have to make that happen.
I would watch that presidency.
I would too.
My goal in life, I want to be half as likable as Paul Rudd.
Yeah, that's a good goal. I think you're like...
Oh, you don't know me that well.
Oh, yeah. True.
Give it time. I mean, thank you, but give it time.
Yeah.
That's great.
At least my first impression is getting better.
Well done, Dave. Well done.
There was like...
Awkward silence. We should take advantage of that silence, though.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And we should stop and take just a moment to thank this week's sponsor.
Who is this week's sponsor, Dave? Do we know?
Our sponsor this week is Karma.
Whoa, Karma. I know about Karma.
Karma,
tell me about karma.
Not karma like the mystical force that keeps balance in the universe. Actually, you know, it's not that far off from that. It's a Wi-Fi hotspot. It's a 4G Wi-Fi hotspot. It's a little tiny thing that goes in your pocket or your backpack, and it gives you internet access wherever you go.
Oh, that's so handy. Just because you bring it up, I've been at conferences before, and I see, you know, when you're searching for Wi-Fi and you can never get on the conference Wi-Fi. I see people have these, and I've been very curious about them. Tell me more, please.
These things are amazing. It's a pay-as-you-go, contract-free Wi-Fi hotspot. There's no monthly fee. There's no subscription. There's no hidden cost. You can purchase as much data as you need, and when you run out, you buy more. You can buy 1 gig of data for $14, or you can buy in bulk and get 1 gigabyte for as low as $9.90.
So are you telling me it's kind of like a Starbucks card, but for Wi-Fi?
It's kind of, there's a bunch of stuff that it's kind of like, I was going to say it's kind of like the Dropbox model for Wi-Fi.
Nice.
And here's why. The thing about it is that unlike a normal wireless hotspot where if you let your friends on it, they use up your data. On this, your account is your data use is tied to your account, not to the device. So it doesn't matter whose device you're using; it just uses your account.
That's pretty phenomenal.
And it's neat because if you're sitting there, it's an open access point, so anybody can get on. And if they do, and they sign up for an account to get the free Wi-Fi access, they get, I think, 100 megs.
I love that.
Yeah, they get 100 megs, and then you get 100 megs, and you can keep doing this. I was told that if you sit at JFK for like 8 hours, you can make a ton.
I love it. There's no reason not to do this.
Yeah, you'll never pay for your friend's usage. You're only sharing the connection itself. That's why it's called karma.
That's pretty awesome.
The device is they say 2.6 by 2.6 by 1/2 inches and weighs just over 2 ounces. I don't know about you, but I can't get a good mental picture of what that means in my head. But what I can tell you, they gave me one. I got one. A week or so ago. I've been playing with it, and it is tiny. It's so tiny that even if I don't think I'm going to need data because I'm just carrying my phone, I stick it in my pocket anyway.
That's awesome.
I stick it in my pocket anyway because I want to build up, like, I want people using my hotspot.
Well, you know, I was just in curiosity, I pulled up yourkama.com and I see it here. There's a photo of it. And it looks really small and really cool in this man's hand.
I almost went over and grabbed mine and held it up to the microphone. I don't know why.
See?
it's ridiculously small. It is tiny. It is so easy to carry around. The battery lasts 8 to 10 hours on a single charge.
But packs a lot of punch.
It really does. This thing is amazing. And I mean this 100% sincerely. I think that this should be to Wi-Fi what the Mophi is to battery.
Very nice.
Everybody should just have one of these and carry it around in their backpack. The device itself was only $100.
I'm pretty much going to get one as soon as we're done with this episode.
Well, I have good news for you. If you go to yourkarma.com/unprofessional.
Which I'm going to do right now, /unprofessional, spell it all the way out, right?
You get 10% off.
Oh, I'm doing it. I'm buying now. That's happening.
Wow. And it's absolutely worth it. So the thing is, when you buy it, you get you get some data with it. They handed me mine. And here's the crazy thing. The setup on it was this. When they gave me mine, I took it home, I charged it, and then I connected to it. And then it knows somehow that the device is mine and it's attached to me. I don't know how exactly that works. There's some kind of magic at play there, but it is now linked to me. I didn't have to do any kind of crazy setup. I just connected to it and logged in to, like, I opened up my browser from my computer and I logged into my Karma account and it knew the device was mine.
Oh, now it's like a pocket pet too.
Right. It is and in terms of wireless technology, I have never seen anything this easy to set up.
That's pretty awesome.
Everything about this I just love. I love the model. I love that when you buy data, the data is yours.
Yeah.
There's no rollover. I would never at this point pay for tethering for my phone again.
That's really awesome. I'm spreading the word on this because I'm actually very, very genuinely excited about it.
You should be. It is awesome. It is crazy. And my friends here, because they're based here in New York City. And so amongst my circle of friends, if you don't have yours on you, you get to lock in through somebody else's.
That's really cool.
There's, I don't know, a social aspect to it. I really do think these things should be huge. This should be one of those, you just have it in your bag when you go to a conference. You just have it in your bag when you go to work at the coffee shop in case the Wi-Fi goes. True story, a few days ago, I was doing work here at home and my Time Warner cable went out.
Nice. That happens to me regularly.
I had no internet connection, but I did have my Karma.
No, I think that's awesome. And I just think, you know, I think that we live and work in a time and in an industry where everything is really mobile, and having Wi-Fi is kind of, you got to do your job.
Yeah, you have to have a connection. And if you travel ever, if you go to conferences, this is a must have.
Conferences, hotels, work environments. How many times have you been in a meeting where you're trying to show something in their Wi-Fi? You can't get on the, you know, client's Wi-Fi. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Anyway, this solves a lot of problems. This is pretty cool. I'm excited that this is our sponsor this week.
I'm excited too. So it's yourkarma.com, yourkarma.com/unprofessional. There's no promo code. If you go to yourkarma.com/unprofessional, it's already right there loaded up. There's a link up at the top. It welcomes you, and you don't have to remember anything but that, and the link will be in the show notes too. You got to go. You got to get one of these things. 10% off. The device is only $100, and you save 10%. The data, whatever data you get, is going to be useful forever. I just can't say enough. Everybody should have one of these things. There's no excuses. It's so cheap. It's so easy. There's no hidden anything. It's all plus. It's all good news.
I think it's great. Yeah, I see it here. I've typed it in. I actually ordered mine now. So this is great. This is fantastic. It's very easy to do.
You really did order yours while we were doing
I really did while we were doing the promo.
That's so great, because it's supposed to be that I'm selling you the product, like I'm pitching you. And then when you really do buy it, that just goes to show how great the thing is.
All done. I bought one.
Awesome. Congratulations. You're going to love it.
I can't wait to try it and show it off at the next conference.
Hell yeah. Woohoo. And we're back from such a delightful commercial break.
It sounds like you're saying commercial brick. A commercial brick.
From a delightful commercial break. Break.
A break.
Break.
Anyway.
Is that better? Break?
That's better. Yeah. Yeah. It was funny though. Both times it sounded like it to me. Maybe it's my ears.
Yeah. I think it's you. I'm blaming you.
It's not you, it's me.
God damn it, Jamie.
We've all
Maybe
heard
you're
that.
A Mason in another life, Jamie.
It could be. And that's all I think about.
Commercial bricks. Is bricks.
Really? Commercial bricks.
What can I do with them? What can
Fine
I build?
Commercial bricks. That we need to find a brick maker, a brick manufacturer as a sponsor.
No, Lego.
Oh, have you guys seen the Lego movie yet?
No, but Elizabeth Banks is in it. I know. You should, Dave.
I saw it last night. I loved it.
I heard it's great.
But she's voice only.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's really all right.
I mean, that's fine too, but I like to look at her.
Bring a picture.
Yep. With you. And then hear her voice. Hold it up every now and then. That's a great idea.
I'll just set her as my phone's wallpaper.
Yep. Yeah. Just stare at her.
You might get kicked out, though. You know,
nothing weird about that.
No, not at all.
The piece of paper would be better, honestly.
What do you think of them doing all these licensed Lego sets now?
Like with the ships, the movie ones, and
like Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, DC, both DC and Marvel, Star Wars, now Ghostbusters, and everything.
It's it's fine. You got to see the movie because they kind of interestingly. They talk about like the instruction
no spoilers,
kits.
Jamie.
I know, and I can't. Yeah, I can't talk about it. All right.
But do you think that there's when you were a kid, or I
never really occurred to me to try to make something like the Millennium Falcon out of Legos when I was a kid, but like to make things like a spaceship, I was all over that.
It was all about your imagination. It's here's a bunch of bricks and go nuts.
Yep.
And. Is there an argument to be made that we're just handing kids a picture of a thing that they're supposed to make, and now they're just making their own toy, and it's not about the imagination anymore, it's about them following instructions?
Is that all there is to Legos now? Like, I have to say, I haven't been paying super close attention to this, but do they only sell sets now?
No, you can still buy the multi-brick boxes. And that's
they've got Lego stores where you can go in and you can mix and match, and you can buy 20,000 red one by four bricks if you want.
Gotcha.
I don't know why you would, but yeah. You could.
Because you might be building a life-size Incredible Hulk, and you want all green bricks or whatever.
Maybe. That's a lot of bricks.
It is a lot of bricks.
You'd probably want to make that hollow.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Just for structural reasons.
Yeah.
They've got a thing in New York now where they're doing a Lego art exhibit. It's all these sculptures made out of Lego.
Oh, I heard about that.
It's really cool.
I like Legos.
That's a very controversial position to take.
I hate Legos. They're the worst.
Exactly. They're just like Paul Rudd. Terrible.
Who is that person? We got to find these people. The anti-Paul Rudd and the anti-Lego people of the world.
Yeah.
Do those people exist?
If they do, they also hate puppies and love and sunshine.
Exactly. They are yes. Oh, I don't want to meet those people. I don't want to know if they exist. Oh, Legos. I actually do want to build some furniture pieces out of Legos and then put...
Really?
Yeah, I do. I want to build a coffee table out of Legos.
IKEA on crack. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's fun and time consuming and probably frustrating, but it doesn't even have to look awesome. You just get a nice piece of glass and put that over the top and you got a really awesome coffee table. Seriously, tell me that's not awesome.
It's awesome. I'm looking around my apartment right now, and I'm thinking to myself that if I were to make a piece of furniture out of Lego, at that point, my apartment just looks like a toy store.
That's not a bad thing, is it?
I don't think I could get away with it.
It depends on the space you have, I guess.
Yeah. I was thinking about this the other day as I was... I'm slow to unpack, I guess. I was like hanging posters and shit up on the wall, and I was thinking about how anybody who comes in here is going to make a couple of pretty quick assumptions about me. Namely, that I really like music and Star Wars.
Maybe that's not a bad thing. Is that a bad thing?
And I was worried about it for a minute. Like, does that give away too much, or does this make me look like I'm... And I decided, you know what? Fuck it. That's who I am.
Yeah. And also, I don't think there's any dude that doesn't like Star Wars. I mean, females, too. But it's sort of like dudes love Star Wars, right? So you're not
that's
like...
sexist.
You're not like jumping off a ledge and being like, this is who I am, people. And I know it's crazy.
I don't think that most dudes have a Lego AT-ST sitting next to their TV.
That's true. You didn't mention that part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've also got a 1 foot tall stormtrooper arranged in a sexy pose sitting in front of the TV.
Very nice.
I like that.
Very nice.
Doesn't Barney from How I Met Your Mother have a life-size stormtrooper?
I have seriously considered going through the trouble.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool thing. That's definitely a conversation piece.
Probably not a huge hit with the ladies, though.
I think it would be. I would really enjoy that.
I would, in my relationship right now, my current relationship, I am the Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
I'm the stronger Star Wars fan.
He's not?
Not as much as me. Then there's not a dislike there at all on his part. Like, he likes Star Wars well enough. But yeah, it's definitely I'm the stronger fan, for sure.
How does he feel about Paul Rudd?
Definitely in. Definitely in on Paul. We're good. I mean,
good.
Yeah, definitely there's a deal breaker level of Star Warsness that has to be present. Like, there, you know, if not present, then deal breaker. And so we're still good.
I think it's about acceptable range.
Yeah,
right?
It really
like,
is.
I'm not so into it that it would tip the scales in the wrong direction.
Well, what is the wrong direction?
Well, I mean, there's
relativity.
There's too little appreciation and there's too much appreciation.
Right,
like, I'm not going to go to conventions and I'm not going to dress up or anything like that. But I will have a couple of toys sitting around my living room.
Yep.
I'm okay.
I think
with
that's
that.
Acceptable.
I think
that's
so too.
Completely acceptable to the masses.
Yeah, I really think so too. I don't think that's no deal breaker.
Yeah.
You know, really is. It's all like framed, but band posters and Star Wars and Doctor Who toys and shit. This is like, oh my God, my apartment is the grown up version of what my bedroom looked like when I was 12.
Nice.
Did the posters change? Like, did you have the similar tastes when you were
Do you have the
younger?
Same? That's the question right there, right?
Yeah.
But is it the same bands? What bands do you have? Can we ask that?
Let's see.
You're really putting it out there today, Dave.
I know. Ben Folds, The Stills, The Pixies, Foo Fighters.
The Pixies. I love The Pixies.
Good stuff.
Harvey Danger.
Too. All right. So, yeah, you're all
Weezer.
Right. I think you're safe.
Yeah, I agree.
So the poster ba- the bands that influenced me musically, not just my favorite bands.
Right. The Pixies. That's it.
Do you play music?
I do.
What do you play?
Like what kind of songs or what kind of instrument?
Instruments.
Guitar.
Okay. Electric, acoustic.
Both. I've got a, I think, 9 guitars here.
Wow.
I live in Manhattan. There's, I think, literally a guitar in every corner.
Nice. Do you play? Do you play out?
I haven't started. That's one of my goals. It's one of the reasons I moved to New York, because
I
wanted to start playing music in front of people again. And so I'm kind of working on that. I got some stuff brewing.
Nice.
Nice.
You have,
hopefully that turns
you have
into a
little,
thing.
You have a, well, a band name, or, right? I don't even know how to call it. Airplane. What is airplane mode? Define.
I don't know. I mean, I would say band, but it's just me right now.
Right.
Well, sort of just me.
So
I say sort of, because like I said, I'm kind of working on stuff.
So yeah, see, there's some things.
I'm putting stuff together. Yeah, it used to be I would on the airplane mode website. It was like once every week or two, I'd put up a new demo song or something, and the deal was it would be the song and then kind of the story that went along with it, sort of. I was a big fan of the VH1 Storytellers and the iTunes Originals style kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And anytime I go to a show, the best part of a show is when the singer will stop for a second and say, this song is about. And you get a little bit of that connection to the person. So I kind of wanted to do that and just play with the idea.
Yeah, the Storytellers. I really love that idea, too, because I like that as well. Though you can play with it. I did see one concert, and it was Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, I love her.
She talked so much went off the rails so much that it was like she forgot. There was times that she stopped in the middle of a song to tell a story, and the band would be like, what the fuck are you doing?
What are we doing?
it was like a really annoying concert because I love her so much.
Yeah, because I love her
Get
too.
On with it, Cyndi.
Yeah, we just want to hear the music.
Yeah, I mean, like a story here and there is great, but can we just, you know, get back to the song after 15 minutes? That would be great.
There's a great video of Dave Grohl talking about when he joined Nirvana. And this was, you know, just a couple of years ago, so it's not like a fresh wound or anything. He's just kind of thinking about the good old days, and he's on stage and he's telling the story about how nervous he was when he first joined Nirvana, and he goes up to Seattle, and you know, it was one of his favorite bands, and he gets to be the drummer for them, and he was kind of intimidated, and he's just sort of trying to get into the social scene in Seattle, and he goes out to somebody's apartment or something, and there's a little show, and he sees this girl get in front of everybody. It was a little show. She was this woman gets in front of everybody, and she's playing guitar and just the worst music he's ever heard. Just total crap. And he's talking about how the next day or something, he was at practice, and he was talking to Kurt and talking about his weekend and saying, yeah, and I went to this show, and this girl is this horrible, like, music poetry. It was like the worst fucking shit I've ever heard in my life. And Kurt's response was, that was my girlfriend.
Oh, God. Hey, so
I know.
I'll just be back here on the drums and
sorry. Hey. That kind of stuff. When you get to hear those little snippets or the story of how the girl fucked the guy over and why he wrote the song. Like that kind of shit I just love.
Yeah. It is good. Jennifer, do you play anything?
I used to sing.
Nice.
But no, I don't. I have an acoustic guitar that I've had for like 15 years, and I've always, you know, wanted to learn it. Once I took lessons, but the guy was like so unimpressed. He was like, have you ever played a musical instrument before? I was like, yeah, the recorder. He was a joke, you know?
The recorder.
And he was so literal. He would always start every lesson and say, now drawing on your experience from the recorder, I'd be like, no, let's not. That seems behind. Like we're stopping it. We're starting at a very low threshold then. Let's just forget. So yikes. I never really learned, but I always wanted to. I love music. It's like, you know that song, I'm forgetting the band name now, but it's Music Is My Boyfriend.
Nice.
Music is my hot, hot sex, I think is what it's called. But it's just the idea that music is like everything to me. It's the most important thing to me, pretty much, besides my personal relationships. You know, it's just everything. I don't know what I would do without it. And
agreed.
It brings me so much joy. It brings me so much healing when I'm feeling bad. You know, it's everything to me.
I love it.
This episode brought to you by music.
Seriously, I love it. I relate so much to that.
I love music too. Oh,
and Paul Rudd.
And Paul Rudd.
Oh, gosh.
I think every girl I've ever dated has asked me to teach her to play guitar.
Oh yeah, is it an easy thing to teach for you?
I might be the world's worst guitar teacher because I start from a place of I'm enthusiastic about somebody wanting to learn, and the promise of being able to write and play music with a girlfriend, that's sort of a dream.
Sure.
I would love to do that.
Sure.
Nothing sexier than a girl with a guitar.
Yeah, agreed.
But the truth is, I sit down and within 5 minutes, there's that voice in the back of my head that's screaming, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why aren't you smart enough to understand it? Like, this is so easy, I can do it.
Gotcha.
Why aren't you as smart as me yet?
Right.
You're not a patient teacher, Dave.
No, yeah. No. And it's not like I'm upset at them for not being smart. That's not what it's about. It's about, look, this is so easy. This is so dumb that I can do it.
Right, I get it.
Can I tell you this happened to me a couple of weeks ago. Sophia, so I have an 8-year-old that is pretty damn good at the electric guitar right now. And
wow,
she's getting
awesome.
Better all the time. And so I decided, you know, like when I was 15, I played bass. And so it's been awesome. A while, right? Like a long while. I haven't touched a musical instrument in a really long time. And so at Christmas time, I'm like, I'm going to play bass again. And like, I have a daughter that plays keyboards. She's 4, well, 5 now. And the one that plays guitar, and then my boyfriend plays drums, and so I'm like, I'll play bass, so we have a band. And anyway, so
slapping the bass,
Sophia is an electric guitar bass sort of
game. I love it.
So we're like a rock band, you know. Anyway, so she's trying to teach me Seven Nation Army, the White Stripes song.
Yep.
Because she's like, it's simple. You'll be able to pick it up really easily.
Yeah, it's like that one riff over and over again.
Yeah, right?
And bow, 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 bow,
exactly. Bow, bow. Yeah. And so she teaches it to me. And so I've got it. You know, I pick it up. And then about a week later, she's like, all right, let's practice again, you know? So I remember it, but it takes my fingers a minute to remember. But she's very quick. So she was very frustrated with me that I first hadn't practiced in a week. So that was very frustrating to her. And then second, I wasn't able to keep up with her. Like, she can knock it out really quickly. Like, her timing is correct. And I'm a little slow and trying to keep up with her. But she was so upset with me. Oh, my gosh. I was like, okay, you got to be a little more patient. I'm slow. I'm old. I'm not that old, but I'm older than you, 8-year-old. And I just am a little bit slower. Anyway, imagine, Dave, you being frustrated that my experience with her must be, you know, she just wants me to get it as quickly as she did. And I just don't move that quickly. I'm sorry. I'm glad that she can, but it takes me a little bit longer. That's all.
Yeah.
I've had the same problem auditioning potential bandmates where for me, music is simple. There's the singy part that I need to learn, like the words and the melody. But if it's a song that, like a pop song, like something that I've heard on the radio that I've listened to ever, then I kind of already know that because I've sung along in the car. So then it's really like the structure of the song and the chords. So there's two things I need to learn when I'm picking up a song to like cover or something. And there's a conference last year that Jamie and I went to called OOL in Ireland. And part of the thing was I got up on stage with a couple of our nerd friends and we put together a little cover band for the event. And we were out there for maybe a week before the event rehearsing. And one of the guys was kind of upset with me because I didn't have every song already down when we showed up for practice. And I'm trying to explain, like, no, you just walk me through the song once and I've got it.
Yeah,
So you pick it up by ear then.
Yeah, see? Well, and that's,
No, just like show me what the chords are. And
yeah.
We'll run through it once and it'll be terrible. But the second time I'll have it down.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just kind of how I work. And this, I think the argument about whether or not I could do that lasted much longer than I needed to actually learn any of the songs.
But yeah, see, I don't pick things up that quickly. So it's very frustrating when you have somebody who does, though, and they're trying to teach you and they don't understand. Like, you got to be patient. Patient.
Yeah.
I don't have that.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't even think that I'm particularly gifted musically. I don't read music.
Well, you have a gift then, yep. You know, like I do think that's a special quality because I'm with you, Jamie, like that, you know, learning.
It takes a little bit longer. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Learning piano. Like I took piano lessons when I was younger and it took me a while, you know, or some people, I think in the minority can just pick it right up. But you're naturally inclined to that. It sounds like
maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm super good at it.
That's okay.
Well, you're just naturally inclined. Just,
yeah, it's just a matter of, I mean, if you want to be patient with somebody, that would be the skill. Maybe.
You know what I never do?
What do you never do?
I never want to be patient.
Oh, that's...
I have a hard time with it too, seriously. I get annoyed with people, mostly in, I guess, work situations where, you know, you're just like, why aren't you understanding this or getting this? Or why do I
get more clear?
Or just how could you have not approached it a different way, a smarter way? Like, I don't, you know, and my office mate will just say, like, not everybody thinks things through like you do, Jen. I'm like, well, that's stupid. Why wouldn't they?
We were talking a couple weeks ago about the idea of we should have a young child on the show at some point.
Like oh my God.
Like a 5 to 10 year old to see if I could have a conversation with them. And I don't think I could.
They are the best conversationalists, I have to tell. Like, I really love having conversations with young kids. I have to tell you, one of my favorites was during the election, the first election with Obama.
Oh, and I thought you meant ever.
Yeah, no. The first election
ever.
So it was like 2008, I guess. It was the 2008 election, right? So I'm remarried to a great guy. His name is Dave as well. And
Not you, Dave.
Yes.
Right.
But he was a bartender for a while. And I used to take a friend's daughter out every year, starting from when she was 3 years old, out for her birthday. And we would like go shopping and then go to have dinner somewhere. And I remember her birthday is right around, you know, November 5th or whenever that, you know, the election day is. And we were at a restaurant and there were just, you know, TVs on full on with Obama everywhere. And she looks at me and she goes, you know, I don't think Obama's that handsome. I was like, oh, okay. That's fine to think, well, you know, who do you think is handsome? She pauses for a minute, looks up to the side, up to the air and goes, your husband. It's like, back off, little lady.
It I was hoping so she'd cute. Say Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
I don't think she had been introduced to the joy of Paul Rudd at that point. She was like 4 or 5 at that point.
That's awesome.
Poor thing.
It is, though. It's astounding, the conversations, the things they do really know at that age.
Kids say the darndest things.
Kids are brilliant. I think they're way more brilliant than we give them credit for.
I agree. And I think that, you know, when you have a really hard problem, like, throw it to a kid. Because they're not going to get all mired down and like, well, you got to do it this way and this way. And then, you know, no, there's an obstacle there. They'll just come up with an idea. And you're like, you know, actually, that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah. Like, can't you just put it in a Ziploc bag or something?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, whatever it is.
Right.
It's
right.
True, though.
Well, I'll say again, I said, I think at the time, but I'll say again that I don't think it would be a bad show because I couldn't have a conversation with the kid, because I'm actually really good at that, because I still sort of am a kid.
Right.
As evident by the 12-year-old bedroom decor in my apartment.
Right.
I just don't think it would be very good listening.
I disagree. Depending on the questions that you would ask a child, they would be hilarious, probably. Yeah, try it.
It's true.
I wouldn't be able to swear as much, or at least I wouldn't feel comfortable releasing me swearing at a child.
Definitely true.
You know, this is probably one of those things that makes me a bad parent, and I accept that. That is possibly my fate, but I'm just going to say it. So I'm not a huge swearer, you know, like in general, but I do. I use my bad swears, but I do swear in front of the kids, and I just always make it a point to say that those are grown-up words. They're just not kid words. And when they're grown-ups, they're welcome to choose their words. But I actually, it drives me crazy when you have little kids that correct adults on their language. Like,
yes.
That drives me bananas. So that's sort of my philosophy for it. It's like, well, you know what? I'm a grown-up, and when you're grown-up, then cool. But and you know, maybe that's a crappy thing to do or say, but it is. That is.
You mean
that
a shitty sort of thing to do?
Yeah, shitty thing to do.
Is it fucked up?
It is. And I don't know. I just don't want, them to think that, I don't know. Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Don't correct me. It's just like, going to say
I'm the adult here.
I expect you to not say it. And one day you'll be able to say it.
I don't think you're doing a kid any favors by pretending
that they don't exist or, yeah.
Right. Like, if you're censoring yourself, I hate censoring myself around other
exactly.
people's kids.
No. And see, and that's what I was getting at. Is just like, I don't think you really have to censor yourself if you have a responsible parent. Just helping them understand this is the difference. Like, that is a grown-up who makes his own decisions and who says his own words. And you are 5. We don't say those words at 5. But when you're 15, maybe we'll have a different discussion, you know? Anyway, yeah. I guess that was my point with that.
Sometimes I'm going to say fuck, and that's something that happens when you're around grown-ups. And I would rather teach you how to be around grown-ups and be thoughtful about these things now and expose you to what happens in the real world now rather than coddle you and have you be surprised at how different the world is.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And it's interesting, you know, because I think more and more people are okay with kids hearing swearing as long as it's sort of couched in those terms, you know, like, because I think I give speech and I do storytelling, and sometimes every once in a while somebody will bring like a child, like, you know, usually not younger than 12, but still, you know, I do like to swear. So yeah. I will sort of warn them and say, hey, that's coming. And, you know, they'll be like, oh, shit, she's heard those words. I'm like, oh, okay, it's fine.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. So I feel like more and more they're like sort of used to it.
There's also a gradient where I'll say ass or damn or shit or sometimes even fuck in front of a kid. But there's words I'm not going to say in front of a kid.
Right. Well, and that's what, I mean, I think. I hope there's a respectfulness to what you're saying, right? Like, words that have a little more impact that we might not want to say.
Right.
Also, you know, in context. Context matters. I will say, like, oh, shit, but I won't say to a little kid, like, hey, do you need to go take a shit?
Right.
Exactly. I mean, there's sort of an awareness, but you do that around, you know, whether you're at work or whether you're at the bar or whether you're, you know, in front of some ladies or you're in front of some guys or, you know, I mean, like, you are selective about the words you choose in general. People, I mean, I know I try to be mindful of my audience when I'm using my words, whatever they are.
Like right now.
Like right now. Yeah.
When you're using words and literally have an audience.
Exactly. Using words. So, yeah. Yeah. Selective about the words I choose for sure. But it doesn't mean I don't swear, you know. Yeah. Whatever.
I'm very pro swearing. I wish people would do it more.
I am too, but I also find it when people don't swear a lot, I also find them like more a little more like charming or attractive or something. I'm like, oh, aren't you a doll? You know,
I make it a point to not swear on a first date. And I don't know why I do that. Because really all I'm doing is setting, if that's something that she's excited about, I'm only setting her up for
disappointment. Exactly. Right.
When she finds out later how I really talk.
Yeah, I think fuck is my favorite word. I say that a lot, like as a verb. It's, you know, I'm just like fucking this and fucking that, fuck that. And, you know, it comes out of my mouth a lot, I find. And I don't always find that in myself like a really wonderful quality. When I hear myself doing it, I'm like, God, what's wrong with you? Are you, you know, like, you know language, Jen. Yeah. But I do it a lot, and I'm sort of not ashamed of it, I suppose.
Yeah.
There's a social divide, kind of, where there's a certain, I don't want to, it's not like a class thing, but I'm going to use the word class for lack of a better word. There's a class of people where swearing is sort of expected. And I talk a certain way because I feel like if I don't, I sound like I'm better than them. You know what
like
I mean?
Like you're elite or something.
Well, yeah, yeah. If I use fancy words, I just sound like an asshole. And so I gotta not dumb it down, but casualize.
Yeah, casual? I getcha.
Yeah, I gotta go that route. But then there's another group of people that I'll be around, and I feel like I have to really watch myself and sit up straight and speak in a certain way, try to be more formal or eloquent.
Right. It's like knowing your audience.
Right. I don't really feel entirely comfortable in either group.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe that's me. Yep. Maybe that's a thing. Maybe that's a thing to explore with my therapist.
No, Dave. Yeah, just there you go. You're all alone. That's I don't know. I was going to say I'm quite different in that. I think I feel pretty comfortable with the words that come out of my mouth, but I don't really think that much about it, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I wish I had that problem.
Interesting. Oh, yeah. And bad swears come out of my mouth just fine. But, yep. Bad swears. I love to. It's just like saying the, you know, like the Twitter. It's just watching my programs on the television. I do say these things on purpose. It's not like I'm oblivious to it. And it just comes out.
I thought maybe this is like a holdover from when you were married to Winnie the Pooh.